go. Guys, welcome to On Burger Podcast. How you doing this evening? Welcome, my guests. We got Catherine Claypool.
Yes.
And I didn't even get your name in the beginning. I'm an idiot.
Miss Lucy Lipstick.
Miss Lucy Lipstick. Okay, we were going to have two more guests, but hopefully they died, and that's why they're
not
here.
From their lack of commitment.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't want to seem mean, but I hope they died. That's all. So, we got a great show tonight. One of the big topics we're going to talk about is the Kelly Thomas beating. I don't know if you're both familiar with it.
Heard a little bit about it.
Yeah, homeless guy, schizophrenic, police knew him, you know, and apparently they took their time and beat him to death. And people don't understand that this goes on every day. One of the other topics we're going to talk about is who's a douche in L.A.? My favorite topic. I don't think we're going to have a lot of time for what's needed for this topic.
I was going to say, I mean, how long is the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, it would need to be 4 days. And you know what sucks is I was looking at the list I wrote. I'm on it. I hated that. Yeah. I was like, whoa, I wrote this. What the? Oh, okay.
Yeah, but where are you on the list? How far down are you? I mean, is it?
Pretty close.
You're
yeah,
close to
pretty
the top?
Much to the top. Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to help you out, Burger.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think we're all douches, you know, but there's people that are just more so. And so one of the things I want to talk about, and then Lucy Lipstick, is you're doing a burlesque show.
On February 14th and 15th.
Get real close to the microphone. Yeah, there you go.
We're doing a burlesque show called Va Va Voom Burlesque.
Va Va Voom, I like that. That is fantastic.
And when she says we, that's actually me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now are you dancing in the burlesque
show?
I'm not.
I'm just going to be co-hosting. So.
Okay. That's fantastic. I like that. So you'd be going like, hey guys, I'm going to keep my shirt on. I'm going to be fully doing. Now you guys don't get fully naked though in burlesque, do you?
Well, we get down to pasties.
Okay. I'm liking this.
So
okay.
You definitely get to see some goods.
Okay. And now, but no lap dancing.
Maybe if you are very special, but and you're in the front row.
She's fantastic, right?
There's really no.
You have to go to the show to see what will happen, and you may get a lap dance, but you have to be really, really cool.
I think I'm going to be there. I'm going to take that chance. I know it's not going to be me, but I'm going to want to know that. I want to just high five the person who it is. I just want to be near them, you know, but that's fantastic. So that sounds like a great show.
Yeah, it's going to be at the Arts District at the Archway Theater. On February 14th and 15th, and we have two shows a night at 8 and 10.
Now, what got you into burlesque dancing? Because that's not generally like, oh, my dad hated me, my mom was a whore, and I became a burlesque dancer. It doesn't work that way.
That was my story.
Oh, that's fantastic then.
Great, Burger.
Yeah, because normally, because burlesque dancing, I've worked with burlesque shows, and they're amazingly talented.
Well, I started as a costume design assistant for a burlesque troupe called Dames of Flame in Atlanta, Georgia. And I fell in love with the performance, the work that goes into the costume, the choreography, all the time that they put in. And I just thought it was so wonderful that you could embody being sexy and gorgeous no matter what shape you were, because they were all kinds of shapes. And everyone had some kind of dance background, so it was lovely to be around. And I just kept doing it.
Well, that's the thing I noticed about it, too, is it's not like, hey, you got to be a Barbie doll to do this. You have to be talented.
Yes.
And I think that's the huge difference. You know, it's funny. I've done a lot of strip clubs. I've done bikini bars. If you're in a bikini bar and you say, hey, you know, I'm here at this strip club, you will get corrected instantly. And to me, it's like, really? Because you're strippers with bathing suits. I mean, there isn't a huge difference. You're dancing on the pole. You're not that great at it. You know,
right?
But then you jump into burlesque, and that's theater.
It's like an art. Yeah, it really is an art.
When people talk about nude for art and things like that, or nudists that are, you know, artistic about it, that's the type of thing, you know, where it really is. I'm not a big fan of. I have a lot of friends who strip. I have a lot of friends who dance, things like that. I have no problem with them, you know, doing it. I don't put judgment on anyone for any reason. I'm not in that place, but I just think it's not, you know, it's degrading to women. Burlesque isn't. Burlesque goes vaudeville-ish, you know?
It does, exactly. Yeah. It empowers us, for sure. And what's wonderful about it is that everyone is different. So we have a variety of acts and dancers and magicians and singers.
Yeah, we have a magician. That's really cool.
So it's more than just, you know,
does
having...
Does the magician wear pasties?
I should ask.
Yeah.
We leave it up to him, okay. Really. It's...
Why are there no women? There's like one woman magician.
David Copperfield?
Yeah, well, right. That's fantastic. That's true, faggot. No, I say that to hate. My son's gay. I'm fine with it.
I could have said Chris Angel. I mean, there was like a list of
any
them.
Any one of them, yeah. But that's the thing. But they don't let women in. They're like, look, no one's going to be prettier than us. We do enough with the makeup. They're all dressed up. And
that's our own magic.
Yeah, you know, my God, I don't know. I think that it needs to be more women magicians, you know? I mean, well, there was, what's her name? Ivana Trump. Well, no, she had made...
Did she really?
Yeah, she was a magician. Yeah. Bat made Donald Trump's half of his shit disappear.
Yeah, I was just saying.
So there are women magicians. Yeah, they can make shit disappear, like your house she thought was yours. Yeah, you know. But, okay, so jumping off of that, we're going to come back to it. I do want to talk about a more serious subject, the Kelly Thomas beating. For the people that are familiar, and by the way, the call-in number is 800-893-9562. I have no idea how the hell to get to the screen, though. So I'm looking at the guy who does all this shit. It's not Jeremy tonight. Okay, so he's going to get me to the screen, and then I'm going to see if there's any callers, and hopefully there will be. You know, we sometimes have some good callers that call in. To me, this is a subject that hits me so deeply for the simple reason right now in society we are so separated by race. Everybody is being told, these people hate you. These people hate you. These people hate you based on how you look, but that's not the truth. Where it comes in, we talk about, We talk about the different things, and we'll get right to the caller. We talk about the different things that go on in society, but we break them up into race, not socioeconomic. And that's the true division in this society, is you have money or you don't have money. Nobody is pulling over Barack Obama and making him get out of the car and searching him because he's black. It's just not happening. So what the Kelly Thomas thing kind of brings to light is the fact that right now we're waking up to the fact that poor are being destroyed. The poor are being attacked. If you're poor, you have no room in this society. Kelly Thomas is a white young man or a white man with schizophrenia who lived on the streets because that's what he chose to do based on his schizophrenia. He was living on the streets, I believe in Venice, if I have it correctly, and I don't deal with facts or, you know, or logic or things like that. But if I have it correctly, he was living on the streets. A lady called saying that some guy was walking around cars. The police showed up. It was Kelly Thomas. They knew him. The police officer then started harassing him. Kelly Thomas got nervous. The police officer slowly put on gloves to beat the fuck out of him, as he said it. You're about to get your fucking ass kicked or something like that, along those lines. He says to him and then proceeds to start beating him. Kelly Thomas tries to get away. Other cops come and join in the beating of this. This guy is like my weight. Like, I used to be 206 pounds. I worked out. I am like the AIDS version of my old self. If cops attacked me, I'm going to go down like a frail old lady. Kelly Thomas, same thing. So anyway, he gets beat to death. His dad is an ex-cop. But the cops don't know this. And so then that's why everything came out. Now, my question to everyone, and I'm going to bring the caller on in a second. My question to everyone is, where is Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson? Because this is a civil rights injustice. But neither of them have said one word because he's white. And I have a major problem with that, because Martin Luther King's thing was equality for everybody. Whatever color you were, we should all be treated the same with the same rights. I believe that wholeheartedly. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are huge pieces of shit who are built on propaganda and lies. And when there's a real civil rights issue like this, where somebody's real civil rights have been destroyed for absolutely no reason, he was killed, they have not said one word. Okay, I've yelled. Let me bring my caller on, and then I want to hear from you, Catherine, and you, Lucy. I love the... Say the Lucy Lips?
Lucy Lipstick.
That is so fantastic. It almost sounds like lesbianish, and I like that because my wife is a lesbian mostly. Yeah, no, it's true. Okay, let me call her. How do I get my caller? Caller, are you there? Who are we talking to? Who are we talking to?
This is Chuck.
Chuck, okay, where are you out of, Chuck?
Marietta, sir.
Marietta, okay. I'm guessing you're going to be for the beating. but go ahead, Chuck. How do you feel about this whole thing? Are you familiar with the case?
I am familiar with the case. It's, you know, and before I express my opinion on it, you know, no matter what, it's a tragedy. That somebody lost their life, it's a complete tragedy. I disagree, though, that the cops set out to beat him or whatever. You know, I am a former law enforcement, and back when I used to work in Vegas or live in Vegas, I used to work at a casino, so I'm used to dealing with people, you know, with mental disabilities and everything else like that, like Kelly Thomas had. You know, it's a sad thing that, one, our society lets these people be out there without treatment.
Well, that's Reagan. Yeah. That's Reagan back from the 80s. Reagan screwed that whole thing up, kicked everyone out of the asylums and homes and everything else, and now that's why we have the huge homeless problem we have. Reagan doesn't remember it.
I agree.
Now,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask you, okay, so, but now you realize that the officer took his time to put on gloves to beat the fuck out of this guy. Like, this wasn't like he was getting attacked and he responded. He put on gloves.
Well, because, okay, now, I understand he put on gloves, but one, when you're dealing with homeless people, most officers, when they walk up, they're gonna talk to them at first, see how the person's reacting to them, you know, and if they feel that you know, that they might have to arrest somebody, you know, a person like this, you got to remember, this kid, you know, unfortunately, it was homeless. His parents, who screamed afterwards, and I feel for his parents that they lost a son, but they hadn't had contact with him in years.
Well, that's not so much true. It's not that they didn't have contact with him. He just didn't live with them. They would check on him.
But you know, once again, he was homeless, and you know, and I'm not really sure if he was like your normal homeless person that you see that's very dirty and everything like that. But you know, do you want to go up and touch a homeless person like that without some type of protection? Because you don't know, you know,
guy or girl. I mean, it matters. It matters. I'm a horny motherfucker.
I guess you know. I guess my question where did they feel that the officers, where did they feel that they were in such danger from this person that didn't even have a weapon on them, that they didn't just, why didn't they just arrest him if there was something going on?
Okay, you cannot assume that somebody doesn't have a weapon on them. Just because you have had prior contact with somebody.
But they have procedures for patting somebody down.
Yeah, he turned his back on him. He turned his back on him to put on the gloves.
They're not going to...
Well, okay. In all honesty, I didn't watch the whole video because you know what? It is a tragedy, you know, that this had happened, and it's not a video that, you know, in all honesty, I want to watch. So, you know, but he felt that at some point in time he's probably going to have contact with this guy. Okay,
he has before too. He knew him,
right? No, and I do understand that, and from my understanding, listening to the reports, he's had a lot of that officer has had a lot of contact with homeless people, and a lot of the homeless people that he's had contact have come forward and said, no, this guy is an upstanding guy. He always treats us with respect and everything else like that. Now, maybe he had a bad day and he was cross. I've talked to some friends of mine that are in law enforcement right now, and I asked him about that comment he made about, you know, if you don't comply, you know, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. You know, and I was like, you know, I don't personally think that, you know, that they killed him. I think that there's a lot of factors that went into Kelly Thomas dying. But which side of the fence you're on, that doesn't make that officer look good. And they're like, well, no, it's really not the smartest thing to say, but it can be used as a tool of compliance.
They try and disengage someone by using strong language.
I'm going to beat the crap out of you.
But you don't put on gloves. You don't put gloves on and then beat the shit out of them. You use it, like I tell my kids all the time. I told my daughter last night, I go, look, eat your vegetables or I'm going to stab you in the fucking eye. I swear to God, I go, I'll cut your fucking eye out. I had no intention of cutting her fucking eye out. I didn't get a knife. I didn't do any of that. But I joke around and I use harsh examples with them to to throw things off. And so whatever,
right.
And
right. I do that.
But I don't but like get a knife.
He might have felt that this was going to go hands-on at some point in time. And so, like I said, for his protection, the officer's going to wear gloves. So
I don't really think... My problem is I don't think the issue is that the guy put on gloves. I mean, you know, like you're saying, I mean, if they're going to pat somebody down or if they want to, like, you know, be careful. I've seen people put on surgical gloves. You know, cops do that
leather
before.
Gloves.
Yeah, leather gloves.
Put on leather
with
gloves.
The spikes along the knuckles.
Yeah, he put on leather gloves.
Yeah.
That's what he did. Like the,
I think my question is like at some point somebody must have stopped to say this is going past, like, we're, you know, you're injuring somebody past their being incapacitated. Now you're really taking their life.
They filmed it. Yeah.
And there's more than like one of them for this one guy. I mean, I just you can't argue that excessive something happened.
Here's the thing with any type of security work, the law enforcement work. It all gets done in numbers, all right? For the most part, it's done in numbers. And the reason it's done in numbers is because hopefully they'll be able to end the incident a lot quicker when you have the numbers on your side. If you have two people, you want to make sure that you have four people on your side. You
understand what I'm saying? Against one person?
Tiny? Like, he literally looked like a garden gnome.
I mean, where...
You know what? Okay, let me give you an answer to it, all right? When I was in law enforcement. I was in the military. I was a cop in the military. We had a 65-year-old man that got brought into our hospital because he got caught sitting in his front yard in his bird bath naked, right? A 65-year-old
Which there's nothing
man.
Wrong with. I just want to say that. There's nothing wrong with that.
But he was he had a mental breakdown. He was 51-50. And the guy couldn't have weighed more than 160, all right? And they had to sedate him. It took five of us to hold him down so they could sedate him. This guy had, you know, he was skinny as all get out. My leg was probably thicker than his waist. And it took five of us to hold him down. I'm like, where the hell is this man getting the strength?
Yeah, well, but he didn't die.
Were you guys pussies?
But he didn't die.
Well, that's too, you know. No,
you guys were able
die,
to sedate him.
Like I said, it's a tragedy that Kelly Thomas died.
They could have tased him.
It's an absolute tragedy.
They could have done a lot of things, I think.
He was alive when he left the scene. When they loaded him up in the ambulance, he was alive. All right. I've heard a lot of people say,
Kennedy.
Well, he kept apologizing. They should have let him go. No, you can't. Once you go hands on with somebody to arrest them, you just cannot let them go. It's sad and it sounds terrible, but you just can't let them go. You have to effect the arrest. You have to put this person in handcuffs. You know,
and I understand it. I mean, I grew up in the projects. I totally understand what cops go through. I fully get the whole thing. I was one of the people during the Rodney King thing that was like, you know what? Fuck that. That dude drove through residential streets on PCP, beat the fuck out of him. I don't care. But here's the thing. We're not talking about Rodney King, who went on to die in a pool and beat his wife and beat his girlfriend and do all this crazy shit. We're just talking about some schizophrenic guy. We're talking about white, black, Chinese every day. These people are being abused instead of taken care of. And I understand that the job on the police officers is so heavy that it literally makes them angry. But the problem is a lot of those police officers were either bullied or bullies, and now it's their moment. And they kind of get... I've dealt with so many police officers that think it's their moment. And I'll tell you this, if I got no weed on me and I'm not drunk... It's the worst day in the world for them because I know every goddamn civil liberty law there is. I told some cops in Santa Monica. Santa Monica cops, by the way, I just want to say, suck a cock, you pieces of shit. And I don't mean in the good way. The ones that like it, eat a pussy, you fuck eye. And so here's the thing is I literally got stopped in Santa Monica for looking the way I do. That's the only reason they could have possibly stopped me. They literally approached me, asked me if I was on probation. I told the guy no. He kept talking to me. I told him, you know what? I'm going to ignore you and keep living in America and walk away from you. Then they tried to stop me again. I told him I'm about to press charges on harassment. I go, so I'm going to just go on to America and ignore you. And they couldn't do anything. Only because I knew. Kelly Thomas doesn't know. Lots of homeless people don't know. Lots of people who look like me aren't school teachers. They're not educated. They don't know the law, so they get taken advantage of by cops who have a stick up their ass because, hey, they're so upset that they want to suck a dick and can't just admit it, so they're going to bully everybody. I'm not saying that you personally, Chuck, want to suck a dick. I'm in no way saying that. Okay, unless of course you want to.
Well, you know what? Yeah.
And I wouldn't infringe upon your right to do
right?
so.
I'd let you. I wouldn't put on gloves and beat the fuck out of you.
Suck away.
I won't disagree that there are some cops out there that are like you're saying. But I would say the majority of them are actually just upstanding people that are trying to go out there and protect their communities and do the job that they're getting paid for. You know, and in the end, you know, they just want to go home to their families.
I believed that years ago. I don't anymore, and it's the same thing with school teachers. I taught middle school. I taught special education for 10 years. Teachers are pieces of shit, and that's the thing. I'm sorry. Not all. I was a very good teacher. I dapped. I don't hug. I never drove a kid in my car. I never took him to my house for the weekend. I never did anything like that. I worked with children, and I taught them how to learn. I taught them how to continue their education. I gave them reasons to continue their education, but I didn't get too close. But most teachers nowadays are kind of pieces of crap. They cuss at kids. I have a very vulgar mouth. None of my students have ever heard me say a bad word because it's not my right. It's not my right to talk to somebody's child with bad language and then teach them that. That's not my right. I don't know what goes on in their life.
You reserve that for your friends,
and
family.
And my own kids. Yeah. My own kids know shut the fuck up. You know, but that's the thing. But, you know, but as far as students, no. And that's the difference. It's keeping it separate. And so, unfortunately, nowadays, it's not mostly that the cops are good. It's not mostly that the teachers are good. It's that most of them are mediocre and a lot of them are pieces of shit. You know, and like, I don't know if you both are very good looking. Have you ever had teachers that would hug too much or were over flirty?
No, that's family.
No, I'm
you know. Chuck, have you ever had a teacher touch you?
No, and
would you
and
like to? Because I will.
I used to go into class naked, so you know.
Hey, so you were trying. You were out there really giving it a go. You were like,
exactly.
"Hey, teacher, I love cookies."
Pantsless Friday this time, kids.
Right? Where's the cum cookies? I mean, but that's the thing, though. That's the thing, though. The sicko teachers never look like me. They always have a suit. They always look perfect. They always have the short hair and the right look and this and that, but they're freaks.
And they smell like cookies.
Are you arresting somebody right now? Are you beating a homeless person as you talk to us? Because I'm hearing a radio in the background. I have a feeling that you're literally down the street. We're on Skid Row here, so I'm feeling like you're down the street hitting someone as you talk to us.
Oh, so the studio name isn't ironic.
Right? Oh, Skid Row Studios is
on Skid
Row. Yeah, we're on Skid Row. You finally
so
made it to Skid Row. Catherine was saying all the time, if I could just fuck Hollywood, I just want to make it in Skid Row.
At least the people are honest down here.
Hey, Chuck, I'm going to tell you this. Listen, my wrap up on this is those cops need to be in jail. What they did was way too far. But way beyond all that, I have a bigger problem again with the fact that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton have not said one fucking word about it, which just shows what pieces of shit. There's a reason they killed Martin Luther King and never took a shot at those pieces of shit is because they don't matter. They're detriments to society.
Exactly.
You know,
Martin Luther King cared about all people.
A brilliant man.
Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, all they care about is themselves getting on TV. And if it's not going to bring them you know, publicity, they're not going to get involved in.
I'm sorry, are we talking about the Kardashians here?
Right, it's the same difference. I mean, that's literally, I'm so beside myself, they haven't called this a civil rights case, and they haven't called it, you know, a profiling type case. But, okay, so listen, here's the thing. We're halfway through. I got a little bonus for you there, Chuck, and I'm guessing you're probably the guy who's going to dig this. We have Lucy Lipstick in the studio, who's going to be doing a form of burlesque dancing for us on camera. Are you watching the video right now?
No. Unfortunately, I'm in my car.
If you can get to the video now or later, it is going to be worth it. Anybody out there, guys, if you can watch this video, Lucy Lipstick is going to be doing live
burlesque.
And you now tell me one more time, where is your show?
Our show is Va Va Voom, and it is at the Archway Theater downtown here on February 14th and 15th. Two shows.
Phenomenal.
8 and 10 each night, and they are selling out. We've got VIP tickets that are almost gone for a couple of shows already. So,
guys, if you want tickets, get in. Do you have a phone number for the tickets?
At riskerhythm.com is the main website.
At riskerhythm.com. Go to the riskerhythm.com.
www.riskerhythm.com.
You hearing that, Chuck?
.com.
I can see you in the audience.
He's in Marietta, Georgia.
You're in Marietta by San Diego.
Oh.
Yeah, by San Diego.
I thought he said Marietta.
No.
My wife has actually been saying that she wants to go to a burlesque show too. So.
There you go. Yeah, and Marietta is not that far. Marietta is basically where San Diego puts its trailers.
Yeah. We're San Diego's stepchild.
I'm sure you're just as loved.
I'll tell you, it's a phenomenal place. There's a comedy club called Aces in Marietta.
That's right.
Amazing guy, Rocky Osborne owns it. Great club. Any comics, any people interested in seeing comedy, fabulous. I performed there about a week or two ago, and just a blast. And then I actually performed there with Todd Bridges and Dustin Diamond. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, it was like, who's real now? You know, but oh my God. It was, okay, so are you ready for this? Okay, you ready? Chuck, I just want you to imagine this. This girl is just amazing lookingly wonderful. She just reminds me of the Roaring Twenties, and I love her. Okay.
And that's awesome.
Check this out, ladies and gentlemen.
Lucy Lipstick.
Sitting down forever. Oh, yeah.
Be like the teacher asking him to go to the board and do a problem.
Right? He's lost. I'm taking pictures like a 6-year-old. That's fantastic.
She's not done yet.
That is great. My wife just had a hysterectomy. I haven't had sex in like 8 weeks.
Oh.
Well, I mean, with her. This is great.
It's a dance.
Yeah, I told you, so talented.
It's awesome.
If she's got pasties, I'm gonna literally, this is gonna be great.
Are you gonna, is that gonna be
something?
It?
Yeah, it's gonna
be the show.
Will
be over.
Yeah. It does. That'll be fantastic. I think that's great. I'm wearing pasties too, but I'm not going to take off my shirt right now. Oh, and I love her hair.
White trash pasties.
Right?
Duct tape.
I do.
Duct tape.
I love you, Catherine. You're a fool.
I'm telling you.
Right?
Out an hour and 15 minutes of this. It'll be great.
Makes me miss my mom. It does so badly.
Mother's Day is coming up.
Oh, fuck that whore.
Uh-oh.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Kind of frozen in time. Gotta be honest. Oh. I gotta tell you, I love boobs. Big, small, any kind. Oh,
that's brilliant.
That was fantastic.
So brilliant.
That was right. Look at him.
He's like.
If you can see him, he orgasms.
The guy in the booth is like beside himself.
Right? Do you see what you did to his hair? Look at that. That is fantastic.
I think his pants might be a little tighter.
They're not on right now. Yeah, his pants are not on right now. He's down to trowel, man. That's fantastic. That was great. Lucy lipstick, guys.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we forgot to put that on the flyer. If you like boobs, come to the show.
Oh, and if you don't like boobs, fucking even gay people like boobs. Gay men like boobs.
Yeah, fuck off.
Everyone likes boobs. My wife loves boobs.
Too. Oh, yeah. There's boobs and butts.
See? I just did a show up at in Vegas at Joker's, and this guy DeBoss, comedian, very funny guy, very cool guy, but his following is really big black women in really tight spandex.
Wow.
Yeah, and so you know, even having a black wife, I couldn't really relate because she's like
nicely fit.
She's a stick. Yeah, she's gorgeous, but yeah, she literally. There's no
You keep
curve.
Doing that. Go ahead. Keep
that's
doing
what she looks
that.
Like. I can jerk her off like my own penis. I could sit there and just jerk off my wife. She's 6 feet tall, so my arm would get tired. But I could.
But you have two arms, Burger.
Oh, not the left one.
Anyway.
It's so overused.
Anyway.
Fantastic. That was
Thank
amazing.
You. Thank you very much.
That was just great. Oh, but yeah, huge women there. Very angry. I had a great time with them. A friend of mine, you know Reza?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, first guy that goes up, he's kind of a heavyset black dude, young guy, has dreadlocks. He literally looked like Chris A. Cross, you know?
Okay.
And just boom, you know? And so he goes up and he actually did a strip tease, but without taking off his clothes. He was doing comedy and that was going really badly.
So isn't that just dancing?
Well, yes, I would think so. The rest of us were looking at each other like, who the fuck is this? You know, nice kid, but new to comedy. And so his jokes weren't working, so he thought he'd go to the striptease, but he leaves his clothes on and he's really not good at it. And these women aren't the kind of women who are like, oh, good try. You know, it's not like a wine club. Like, oh,
right.
Okay, black guy, we'll just clap and be scared of you. No, these are black women. And they're like, oh, what the fuck is he? Oh, that is some shit. Oh, God.
Wow, you know, they just killed him.
Off. Yeah, and so they totally heckle the next guy and boo him. And then Reza goes up and he goes, man, talk about guerrilla comedy.
Oh.
Right. As a white person, you get it. But as a Persian,
Reza, wherever you are, my friend.
Right, Chuck, you know what I'm talking about?
So
he goes up and he's like, you know, and I get it. One black girl turns and goes, what the fuck did he just say?
It was
hysterical, but he just jumped past it because he didn't mean it that way. He meant like,
right,
in the ditch,
right.
You know, we're in here fighting. Right. But yeah, I'm like, wrong thing, dude.
Oh, that is funny as shit,
man. Oh, I just, you know, and so I went up and, you know, blah, 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 but they were fun. I went up and I have a line that I'll use sometimes where someone will be heckling or whatever, and I'll tell them like, I don't know if you heard my introduction. I do special education. I teach special ed all week. If you can give me tonight off, I'd fucking appreciate it. You know, and so then everyone,
nice.
Yeah. So everyone starts laughing at her, blah, blah, blah. We get along and it's fun. DeBoss goes up, there's crowd. He has a great time too. You know, really funny guy. But, you know, that was the thing. It's like in life, in comedy, you never know what you're going to get. And I just did Nerd Melt.
Oh, yes.
I walked in there and like.
They're great.
Six or seven people at the beanbags. Not even a fucking hello. Didn't even look at me. They were literally holding their change. You know, yeah, I'm not even kidding. Like I go, hey, where's the sign up thing? And they go, hey, yeah, Bo will come out. You'll know. Right? And now you know how long I've been doing comedy, but I didn't know any of these people.
That's a shame.
Well, here's the thing. So then some people start showing up. You do the bowl, you put in, I got picked. Okay, so it's like I'm number 16. And so I go up and I start talking about that. I said, wow, I'm an old guy because I don't know about you new nerds. Like, you guys aren't cool. Like, you guys are fucking bullies. You know, like, you're mean. I go, like, there was a nerd over there with neck muscle and an MMA shirt. Like, what the fuck kind of nerds got neck muscle? You know? And so then I start going, but this is the thing, as a crowd, they were such a great crowd, and if they liked you, they were great about it. And so the guy Kyle, who was really wonderful, who hosts it, comes up to me after, and he's like, dude, great set, you know, all this stuff. I was nervous as fuck doing the set. My wife made me do it because she likes comic books. Because she's six. But, you know, I mean, awesome. Like, yeah, you know, so it's like she likes comic books. So she makes me go to this fucking show. I go there. People are miserable to me. I go up. Everyone's super nice. And afterwards, everyone's really nice. And there was one guy who even did a joke almost exactly like mine, one I've been doing for years. I talk about, jerking off and having kids and, you know, how I have to get ready. I got to think of kids from junior high. The whole thing, you know, and then I'm like, you know, I got to go shopping tomorrow. We did start doing the same thing. I just told him, I go, hey, if you did it, if it's your joke, like if you came up with it on your own, keep doing it. Just know I've been doing that for like 6 or 7 years, you know, about my kids. Wow. He did it about his like friend, you know, or whatever it was. Super nice guy about it, though. Not a dick, not a douche, you know, and which brings up our next segment.
Oh, yes.
And I know, Lucy Lipstick, you've got to have an ass load of this, like a list so deep. Just doing comedy, Catherine, being like, this is the thing. People talk about women aren't funny in comedy. I hate that because statistically, women are funnier than men in comedy. There's more funny women percentage wise than there are funny men.
Oh, shit. You're going all statistics on me.
Oh, well, but this, it's a big thing because men don't get this because these dickless little jackasses talk around, oh, women aren't funny. No, funny's funny. Whether you got a penis or vagina doesn't make you funny or not, doesn't decide anything. Either you're funny or you're not. So you probably deal with shit all the time. You're a good looking woman. You have a, like, you literally have a great look.
Thank you.
And you're not even Jewish, are you?
I'm not, but I can play one.
You have the sexiest Jew look, I gotta tell you.
That's because I'm not Jewish.
That's the only sexy Jew look there is.
Not being Jewish.
A non-Jew.
You're welcome.
No, you do, and that's the thing, being a white trash looking Jew, I've always been attracted to that look because those were the people who looked at me like, why's the white supremacist here? I'm like, no, I'm Jewish. You know?
Anti-Semitic?
Yeah. Oh, right. I used to get tackled in like temples, you know?
Right.
But so what were some of the douchiest people you've dealt with?
You know, it's, I don't know. I haven't really come across too many, to be honest. And that's because I've been here only a year.
That's so, long enough, trust me, to normally run across a lot.
No shit.
Yeah, I just, I haven't,
yeah, Chuck
I haven't
knows.
Really,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. Let me think. There was,
who's the douchiest comic you've run into besides me?
Oh, you're not at all.
Not at all.
I got a good one.
Go on. I want to hear this.
Yeah, let Lucy go, and I'll think on mine.
So right when I've been here just almost 2 years, and as soon as I moved in, I was approached by someone who works as a dancer, and he wanted me to do partner dancing, social dancing, competing, and he would come up to me almost every time he would see me and just say, you don't need to be doing the work you're doing. You need to be practicing with me. I'm the best thing out there. I'm the one who's going to get you all the gigs. And I was like, who are you?
Right? Right?
And you're saying it like there's something wrong with what you're doing then.
Yeah, he didn't. So I moved out here to do costume design. And I do burlesque and swing dancing on the side. That's part of my passion. And he was trying to get me to be his dance partner.
Was it a quote-unquote dance
partner?
I'm sure he had other intentions, right? You know, right? You know, you have a car? Can you drive me somewhere?
Yeah, out to the desert in a bunch of different bags.
My God,
and it just was a consistent thing, and sometimes I still get text messages like, hey, there's this awesome audition, and you should really be a part of it because I'm amazing. And I'm thinking...
Because I'm amazing.
You know, that's his whole attitude. Like, I've been doing this for 10 years, and I'm 32. And you still live with your dad.
Oh, yeah. Kill yourself right there. Fucking kill yourself. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah,
I've run into a lot of men who just think that they're like, I live in Hollywood and I'm an actor. And or model, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, goodbye.
Yeah. There was one guy who I met through a writing place that was like, they had a, God, man, my vocabulary is going to fail me here, isn't it?
No, go on.
No, it's working.
I'll work with you.
Workshops that they would have, and okay. You would go and listen to different writers, you know, who've been successful in TV and film and, you know, their perspective as writers and producers. And I was at one, and, you know, I produce a lot of my own material. I have a lot of sketch videos online, and, you know, primarily the reason I came here was to, you know, produce more of my own content. And I can produce. I know how to do that. So I meet this guy, and he's, like, talking to me, and he's just started this new production company, and he wants to talk to me about some content and everything. I'm like, great. That's great. He ends up asking me out on a date, never looks at any of my shit.
Right.
Like, made it like he was going to be the guy after my ex, you know, that was gonna really make me forget everything. He was just so douchey. And then, I asked him what he was doing one day. He called me and he's like, oh, I'm out here, you know, buying some food. He goes, I'm a really good cook. Maybe someday you can spend the night and I can cook you breakfast. You can find out how good a cook I am.
You're like, yeah, but I'd have to get through what a fucking douchebag you are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, it was really funny. And I had no words. And he's like, I think I can hear you blushing on the other end of the phone. I'm like, no, dude, that's
not
blushing.
You're hearing me fart. I mean, yeah, that's horrible.
It was horrible. I was like, no, I don't have any words.
Well, guys are pieces. It's why I want both my daughters to be lesbians, 100%. I do bits about it, but I'm 100% on that. I want my daughters to be lesbians, period. I don't want any of my three kids dating men. You know, I mean, it's a simple thing. I don't want my son, my daughter, none of them dating fucking men because we're all pieces of shit and not them.
No, I'm very proud of my two sons. They're both lesbians, so, you know.
Well, that's scary because then they'd eat each other out and that's weird. But no, you know, I mean, but that's a big thing because in Hollywood for women, not even just for women, for men, you know, but... Like, I don't like to call anybody out, and I never like to say names. I don't like to name names. I would never, like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, Jeff Garland fucks boys and puts them on the road. You know, I'm not going to say that, even though I just said it. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, those are things I wouldn't say. Like, oh, hey, Jeff Garland, why don't you just go to the Philippines and fuck boys and give real comic spots? You know, I'm not going to say that.
No, that wouldn't be
right. I'm not
going to
say, Jeff Ross, why do you have young boys writing for you? I'm not going to say shit like that because I don't know 100%.
Hey, is it a job?
You know?
I can look like a boy if that's a job.
If you could look like a Taiwanese boy, man, you could get some serious work in this town. Jeff Garland's Mercedes. I know that.
That's the key to getting jobs in LA.
But that's what people don't get. And it's so sad. You know, there's so many people in LA. What it is, it being in comedy, and you're in comedy, and you know that comedy's changed so much since back in the day when it was like, if you're willing to put in the time and bust your ass, you can get in. You know, now it's like, if you're willing to mow people's lawns and take it in the ass, you can get in. You know, and then there's so many women now, and people don't get this, that women a lot of women are getting up in comedy, a lot of men in the same exact way, fucking other men. And that's the thing. Women are having, Chuck, are you aware of this, that women are strapping them on and banging some of these execs and getting spots?
Is that really an option? Because that would be different.
Yeah, that would be different. That puts
time.
A whole different angle on things.
Big time. You know how many men are into that, though? I mean, literally, and that's the thing. If I wanted to do that, I'd just go find a dick and let him fuck me. You know, I mean, I don't want a woman doing that. It's just, especially, like, my wife. How am I going to have my wife have anal sex with me and then ever be a man, ever? You can't. Like, what am I going to tell her? Like, no, bitch, this is what we're doing. She's like, really? Because I fucked you in the ass last night. Then you just got to go, you're right.
We'll do whatever you need.
Yeah. Totally. Fucking day at fucking Beverly
is
finding fabric. It's going to be great.
Dishes are clean or dirty?
Yeah. What do you want me to do next, honey? And I don't boss my wife around, you know? And again, she don't let me fuck her in the ass. But, you know, it's like, you know, but that's the thing. Chuck, you don't know that.
Listen, this is not the show for those who are easily offended.
Right?
No, most definitely not.
But no, I mean, but that's the thing. You know what's funny is, my wife's like 6 feet tall and black, and she was on the subway today, and one of the guys was singing and playing like a fake guitar with a shoestring.
Wow.
And there were these two hipsters there, a guy and a girl, you know, all dressed in the whole hipster shit, and a bunch of other people. And the guy's like playing, I guess my wife was pissed or whatever. So she turns to him and goes, hey, why don't you shut the fuck up? Because nobody gives a shit about your stupid, horrible fucking music, and no one's going to give you money. And da da da. And the guy's like, well, you know, what's wrong with you? She goes, you know what? Because you motherfuckers come here and you play bullshit and you suck and you're not even a real musician and you're going to scare people for money. The guy was black too. And this and that, right? And so, and then he's like, oh, he turns to the hipsters. He goes, oh, is this bothering you? And they go, oh, no, we like it. And so she's like, oh, motherfucker. And she was telling me this.
And then
this
he sold two more CDs.
No CDs. They just gave him money for playing a shoestring guitar. And so they gave him money.
That's positive reinforcement.
Out of fear, yeah. But that was the thing. And she was like, it was bullshit because nobody said shit. I go, baby, how many other tall black people were on the bus or on the subway? And she goes, not really any. I go, exactly. They just figured, hey, you're a tall black woman telling another black guy this and that. They're scared to death to get involved because the people are pussies. Whereas meanwhile, a few of them, like Chuck, I'm guessing from Marietta, if my wife was on that subway and she told that dude to shut the fuck up, you'd be like, yeah, dude, shut the fuck up.
Oh, hell yeah.
You see, you're not a chicken shit.
I'd have probably been saying it before her.
You see what I'm saying? Because you're not a big chicken shit and you're not scared of being a racist or this and that. The guy's an asshole. You know, there's no reason for him to scare people on a subway for money.
I definitely agree.
I see those people all the time and they're just like, you know, you got money? I go, no, I got kids.
Yeah.
How would I have money?
No, I don't have money. My wife has money. My wife has two paychecks. I don't have any money.
My question is always, though, and I go back to this, where are the cops to beat these fuckers up? No,
especially the women comics.
You see that callback?
They need a one.
Yeah.
Where's this guy who beat the fuck out of Kelly Thomas to have fucking run the subways, you know? No, but you know, I mean, like crazy, you know, but that's the thing is these cops, they're doing stuff like that. They're doing this shit. They're busting people for jaywalking.
I heard about this.
Right?
I jaywalk with impunity.
They bust people for jaywalking, but there's crime and a shortage of police. Do you really have
Why
extra jaywalking police?
Here's my thing. Why don't you stop people running red lights?
Yeah.
Not jaywalkers.
How about leave the people sneaking on the Orange Line or the subway alone? And let's have the cops bust crack fucking dealers and pedophiles and kiddie porn people, you know, and not porn people at all.
The regular porn people. Yeah, they're
fine.
There's nothing wrong.
God bless them. I swear to God, I hate porn.
They're absolutely okay.
I hate porn. I'm going to tell you why. I don't hate the act of porn. I hate the fact, and I don't know if you know this, and I'll tell you this. Do you know that they use a fisheye lens? You know what a fisheye lens does?
Yeah.
And what is it? Blows up the
center. Yeah, it does!
Whoa.
You know what it's like being a guy? Looking at someone with a fucking 5-inch dick that looks 12 inches? And just feeling like a piece of shit? I literally, the first movie I ever saw, like as a kid, me and my sister, my dad had a black market copy of Deep Throat.
Oh,
way
wow.
back, way, we're talking in the 70s, you know?
Yeah.
And so me and my sister found it
and
watched it as a kid. So the first cock I see is John Holmes. Okay, look, I don't care
who
I fuck.
That's not weird at all.
We're white people. We could fuck each other. It's safe. No, we watched it. We found it and we snuck it. And so the first dick I see is John Holmes.
Yeah.
The next dick I see is at some gym somewhere. I'm walking through with my dad. And then there's this black dude with a dick down to his knees. Boom, right? So now I'm like, holy fuck, everyone in the world's got a dick this big. So I'm
with
40.
Two data points, you made that decision.
I've grown up my whole life miserable, and then you watch porn and they bullshit because the average size in porn is 5.5 to 6 inches. But with the fisheye lens, it looks like 9, 10, 12 inches. You know, like it looks like a huge fucking monster cock. You know, and so like I literally.
I've ordered my wife those glasses, so you know I'll be
okay. You have to. I'm telling you, I my whole life I've grown up with like an 8.5-inch dick, miserable.
I don't watch much porn, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I have in the past, but I have in the past, but it seems, you know, once I kind of figured out they all end the same, I was like, all right, I'm done.
Hey, right?
I'm good.
So I haven't watched one in years. Have they changed much? They end the same, don't they? Yeah. Sorry. That's
my problem with the whole industry of all that. If porn was directed by women, if pimps were women. But I mean, if like pimps were women, if all of the woman sex market was run by women, I would have less of a problem with it. You know, I just have such a problem because because
there'd be more plot.
There would not only be more plot, but
they have those porns with the stories.
They're called R-rated films.
Yeah, no, I don't want that either. You know, I just want women producing the gangbang porn. Right? Do you ever watch gangbang porn? You lying motherfucker. Yeah, we all do. Yeah, right? We all, both of them have looked at it.
Never.
No, we all. Chuck, you know you've watched gangbang porn. My wife went on the phone.
I don't know what you're talking about. Don't look
at my
computer.
It's the way of the animal kingdom.
My wife went on my phone, yeah, and she's like, what's with ebony sluts being gangbanged? I'm like, baby, you turn me on. What else am I going to jack off to? White women? You know, I mean, it's like,
that would be more offensive.
Yeah, right? Thank you. I'm sticking in a genre. You know?
Oh man, that's great.
Chuck, what kind of porn do you beat off to?
What's that?
What kind of porn do you beat off to?
Midget.
Fuck yeah, I like that.
That was a quick answer and that was true.
Right?
That
you know was it's the true truth. It was so quick.
That dude
I would love to fuck a midget. I gotta be honest. I would do it on a table, though. I would do it on a table.
You just watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
and
that's about the only
Peter, what was his Dinklage?
I don't know. I just want to have sex with
Lizzie's
a midget.
Lizzie's laughing at me.
Oh, I love midgets. There was a. I almost
he
had sex with a midget.
Beautiful. No, he's very handsome.
Oh, he's yeah.
What's his name?
Peter.
You don't know? Look it up. You're sitting right there.
There's a guy, Nick Novecki. You know Nick Novecki? Oh, great guy. I did a joke one time because I had followed him on stage. I go, Nick's a great guy, little midget guy. And I go, he's a great guy. I go, we met a girl the other night and went out and had a 2.5 some. But, you know, like people don't get offended too easy, you know, and it's like.
That's funny, though.
I always said I would love to fuck a midget, but I would do it on a table, like a Thanksgiving setting, and make it like
like they're on a platter? Turkey.
Yeah. Oh. I would like little chicken wings and shit, you know.
Spray them down with some
cranberry sauce,
Tanner.
Everything. I'm going full nutty.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage. Well, I don't know if that's how you're saying it. Dinklage, D-I-N.
What? Peter, do you know Peter Dinklage? Is he a porn guy?
No, he's the guy in Game of Thrones.
He's been in a bunch of different movies,
yeah,
too.
He was in Elf. He was the angry elf in the movie Elf.
Yes.
Listen, we're coming down to our last 2 minutes. I want to let them pump their shit out. I'm going to be in Bakersfield this weekend and then Taft. Guys, come check it out.
I got something that's outside of Vavavoom, but... I actually have a Tumblr, New Mood Food. It's a LA's premier 420 friendly restaurant reviews.
Well, hell yeah.
So we're on Twitter with New Mood Food 420. And yeah, so we're going to be doing two new reviews this weekend, actually, Sunday and Monday, and they'll be up. So yeah.
Hell yeah. Hey.
And Valentine's weekend, February 14th and 15th, we have the Vavavoom Burlesque Show with Jezebel Thunder, Eyes of La Vamp, and Maximillions.
Hell yeah.
Plus plenty of other talented women and men.
And yeah, and if you saw what you saw, guys, that's phenomenal. I'm going. That's just an amazing night. It's going to be fun. We're going to check it out. Be a great time. Also, I'll be at Flappers on February 13th with Jose Barrientos. And that's all, guys.
Thank you very much, Berger.
Yeah, no, it was
thank
great
you.
Having
I really
you guys.
Appreciate coming on.
I got to tell you, this was fun. You're a first act on here. And as a start for a first act, right? Because originally we were gonna go with the naked black midget guy.
You got three thumbs up,
yeah.
I believe.
I'm gonna get shit from my wife for just making him black. Yeah, she'll give me
not
shit
that it's
all the
a
time.
Thumb. I'm just saying.
You know, my wife comes up sometimes and she'll tell me, you know why I fucking hate white people? And I just look at her like, am I not white? Anyway, guys, I'm Berger Podcast. Chuck, thank you so much for calling
Thanks,
in.
Chuck. Have a
guys,
great
call
night.
In next week again. 800-893-9562. Give it up for our guests. Great show. Give it up for Skid Row Radio's RDC Club. We're good.
same time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.